From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today as we start out with another week of Let the Bible Speak programs. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you, and welcome to the broadcast. Today we come to the last of the themes in Titus that we have been looking at for a number of weeks. The message we're featuring this week was one that I preached as part of our church's Reformation Month celebration in 2005, hence the references to the great Protestant reformers. The text before us this week will be Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, and the subject of our study is the gospel that shook the world. I trust the Lord will bless it to your heart. Before we come to the message, we have, of course, some music and our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. And that's where we'll start. Our devotional for today is taken from John 10, verse 20, on the subject of hearing the shepherd. John 10, 20 asks the question, why hear ye him? The worldling asks, why this Bible at your kitchen table? Why this Bible by your bedside? Why attend a church that's all preaching and prayer, not entertainment? These are real questions from the lips of worldlings, but the Christian can answer them a thousand times over. Hearing Christ's voice is the mark of true sheep. Our Lord says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. All who claim to be Christ's redeemed sheep have heard his voice, humbling them and calling them to sit at his feet in the enjoyment of pardon from all sin. Do you see that sheep darting from the flock, seeking its own way in rebellion to the shepherd's voice? That's a lost sheep, but Christ's sheep hear his voice and follow him. Their shepherd speaks words of truth. Many hirelings are clamoring for your ears, but Christ alone speaks savingly to the soul. He tells you, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No other supposed Savior speaks words of truth and life as our beloved Redeemer. This good shepherd also speaks words of love and mercy. Go to one of Christ's sheep, Mary Magdalene, for example, out of whom went seven devils. Ask her, why hear ye him? Why do you hear him? With flowing tears, she will tell the story of her Savior's multiplied mercies. His words of pardon were music to her ears and the song of her soul. The Master's voice inspires his hearing sheep to listen with the fullest assurance to the shepherd of their souls, and to turn a deaf ear to the criticism of the world. Our thought for the day comes from the Scottish preacher Alexander White. Only once did God choose a completely sinless preacher. And of course he was speaking of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Down the weary
Many of you have taken the opportunity to obtain the various resources that we have made available to you here in Let the Bible Speak, and we hope that these will better equip you to stand for the Lord Jesus and to serve Him. If you're not yet on our mailing list for our quarterly magazine or our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD, a sort of an electronic magazine, we encourage you to rectify that situation and to request these good materials today. In addition, we have a special offer that we think you should hear about. I have been noting for some weeks now that the World Council of Churches held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil recently, and that the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a good separatist Bible-believing organization, the General Secretary, Dr. Ralph Colas, went there as a reporter to Brazil, and his report on what was going on at the World Council of Churches makes interesting, indeed startling reading. He lifts the lid on the utter apostasy of the World Council of Churches, and of course the National Council of Churches, which has in membership the leading main denominations here in the United States. So if you would like to receive Dr. Colas' report, and we would like you to receive it, then just write or call, let us know, ask for it, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. Let me exhort you, if you haven't already done so, to write or call and obtain Ralph Colas' expose of the World Council of Churches and its ecumenical apostasy. We look forward to hearing from you.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to speak His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! First of me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Because He first loved me.
We're reading in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, reading through the end of verse 8. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying.
And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own inspired and infallible word for his name's sake. In the passage that we have been reading, the Apostle Paul does what Martin Luther and the other reformers had to do again in the 16th century. That is, lay down the fundamental truths of the gospel. The truths that we have been reading, especially verses 4 through 8, these truths are the truths that shook the ancient world in the days of Paul. And they are the same truths that shook the world all over again in the days of Martin Luther and the other reformers. They had the very same dynamic effect. And these gospel truths are the only hope for the world in our day. And so we may learn a lot from the situation that not only the apostles but the reformers had to face as they battled for the cause of God and of truth. By the 16th century, the church had deeply, fatally corrupted the gospel as it appears in the New Testament. The church, the medieval church, retained enough of the language of the gospel to keep the pious in line. But it no longer preached anything like the message that the apostles of Christ preached. So you would have to look at the church in the 16th century and come to the conclusion that, to all intents and purposes, it had actually repudiated the gospel. The papal church appeared to view its role as a political, cultural, economic, and military power as its chief concern. The Pope was embroiled in such things. In fact, one of the most tantalizing, one of the most humorous, one of the most scathing, and in some ways one of the most bitter pieces of literature and satire ever written was produced by Erasmus, the great scholar of Rotterdam. If my memory's right, in 1513, though my memory today could be held at fault, as I say, I'm not quite sure what planet I'm on at the minute, so I could be at fault here. But if my memory's right, around 1513, Pope Julius II had just died. And Erasmus wrote a satire on Julius arriving at the gates of heaven. And he has this conversation between Peter and Julius, and the Pope demanding entrance, and Peter denying him entrance. The Pope saying, "You're just a fisherman. I am the Pope." And he went down to give all his achievements. Now, it may well be true, as some historians believe, that Erasmus overstated the case. But whether he did or not, it would be true to say that men like Julius were men given to, he was more comfortable in armor than in a cassock. He was more comfortable with a weapon of war than with the elements of the Lord's Supper in his hand. He was more a fighter than a priest. He was more interested in what he could do to enrich the Vatican, both politically and economically, than he was in such foolish things as the spiritual welfare of the souls of men and women. That would be a fair summation of where the church had arrived in the 16th century. All the time, of course, it was employing its power religiously to maintain the necessary social environment. In other words, to keep the natives happy enough that the great men, the princes of the church, could pursue their international political program and go on to do the things that they felt were their primary aims. I don't want to take time in this, but let me tell you, that is always a major temptation. Political power and worldly wealth have always been the twin temptations with which Satan has seduced the church away from its true endeavor, namely preaching the gospel of Christ for the saving of souls, so that if society is to be renewed, it will be renewed on the back of a spiritual reformation and a spiritual revival as God moves, converting the ungodly and bringing the unclean to purity. That is the great purpose of the church. And we would do well, therefore, to remember never to be turned aside from that. Again, I don't want to be taking time in this, and I don't want to be unnecessarily controversial, but I think you will find that there are far more Christians in America who believe that there's more to be served in political activism, in getting the right judges on the Supreme Court. I have lived 25 years in America, and I have found this, that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I have found this, that no matter what judges they put on there, they're not going to do the job. They're not going to do the job. But there are more Christians who are more interested in political activism than they are in getting on their knees and doing the real work, and getting out in evangelism and doing the real work. It is only when the Church of Jesus Christ is faithful to the gospel which God has given it, and with which he has entrusted it to take to the lost nations of the earth, it is only then that we can fulfill our high and our holy calling and do anything that is going to last for time and for eternity. The Apostle Paul realized that, and that's why he never deviated. Never deviated. Neither did the other apostles from the great endeavor of preaching the gospel. Martin Luther was a man caught up by the necessities of the age and by the position in which he was placed, by the laws under which he lived. He was a man who could not escape the political ramifications of everything that he did. And yet, Luther's great burden was the preaching of the gospel and the spread of its truth. Tonight, I want us to emphasize, therefore, the truths that Paul emphasized and that the apostles emphasized. As I have indicated, I will call this simply the gospel that shook the world. You will notice in verses 4 through 8 that we have a series of great truths. And I really shouldn't do this, but I like to scare people. When I tell you that there are 7 of them, you'll realize I could have you here until next Sunday night. But I'm going to skip through them rather quickly, simply because there are so many. Dr. Paisley, if he were here, would tell you 7 is the number of perfection. And so therefore here you have the perfect revelation of the gospel for Paul's day, for Luther's day, and for our day. Verse 4, we start with the first great truth that Paul emphasized, that Luther emphasized, that the Protestant Reformation took time to stress and that we must never lose sight of. And it is God's love for a lost humanity. Or if I could put that another way, God's love for men as men. Now let me put that even more clearly, because I am speaking to you as one who is an unapologetic Calvinist. I believe in the distinguishing, electing purpose of God. I believe in the peculiar love of God for his elect and for his redeemed. But having said that, I am saying Paul is here speaking of a love not for men as elect or as redeemed, but for men as men. Notice what he says. After that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now there are a couple of terms here that demand our close attention. The first word is kindness. The Greek term that is translated kindness is one that John Calvin, in another context, translated as civility, courtesy, demonstrated by speech and actions toward others. The great linguist Archbishop Trench said it's the opposite of harshness. So kindness is a very good translation of the term here. Now then we have another term, and it is a most interesting term. You will notice it says the love of God our Savior toward man. Let me give you that as Paul wrote it in the order of words. The love toward man of our Savior God. That's the order of the words. And the term love toward man is all one word. Now this is a word that also denotes kindness. For example, in Acts 28 verse 2, we read that the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. It's this word. So it does have the idea, the connotation of kindness. But this is the word that is brought over into English. It's transliterated into English. And we call it philanthropy. That's the word that Paul is using here. In classical Greek, it meant benevolence. As one man would practice it toward other men, it meant humanity, dealing humanely, kindly, benevolently, generously. This is the word then that Paul uses. It's speaking of generosity, of kindness, of a free and gracious giving to others in their need to do them good. It is a treatment of others in their need that flows from a genuine love and a genuine pity and an interest in their welfare. That's the word that Paul is here employing. He says, our Savior God. And I think that's a beautiful title that the apostle here gives. It's translated in our Bible, God our Savior, and I have really no quarrel with that. But when Paul says, our Savior, God, I think that's a beautiful title of our Savior. And he said, when the kindness of our Savior, God, appeared, he showed his gracious and his generous love for mankind in, and I think the appearing usually speaks of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this is the basic element in the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening, I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.